stand in body or spirit this morning for the reading of the gospel. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And you may be seated. So what exactly is it that makes someone a saint? If you are a Roman Catholic or an Eastern Orthodox Christian, you know there is a very clearly lined out process by which one becomes a saint of the church. A miracle in the Catholic Church is required to be attested to. Approval by various groups of folks, and then finally the approval of the Pope. And then one can be declared a saint. Then there is the more generic understanding that we as United Methodists tend to follow, in the sense of that anyone, who is chosen to be a disciple of Jesus the Christ, who has answered the call to service, who has answered the call to love, that makes one a saint. And so we celebrate and remember this morning the 14 individuals who answered that call and remembers of here at Bartlett United Methodist Church. But I want to narrow it down just a little bit more for us by asking for the folks in your life, who you consider to be saints. What was it about them? What did they say? What did they do that makes you now look back upon them as a saint from God? I have no doubt that your memories right now are going to acts of love that they shared with you, right? They did something repeatedly to show that they loved you. They cooked chicken and dressing whenever I was home from college and there was a fellowship meal at the church. Thank you and God bless, Miss Etta Akers. They had cookies for you when you would go next door to check on Ted after her husband Pop had died. And a smile on her face. Pop and Ted were the first people that when I was at church at Olive Branch, they were the first people that I was allowed to sit with away from my family. Thank you, God, for Pop and Ted. They made extra effort to give you an opportunity. When I was a senior in high school, my guidance counselor was Nancy Farmer. Her husband was the county executive of Henry County. She arranged with Jim, her husband, for me to spend the month of February of my senior year of high school in Washington, D.C., serving as a congressional page to Congressman Ed Jones. Thank you, God, for Nancy and Jim and Congressman Jones. And on that trip, during that month of February, I took a tour of the Pentagon. Now, you know it was a long time ago when you could take a tour of the Pentagon. All right. And on that tour, I met this dear, sweet, precious lady, Miss Sally. She and her family from Gloucester, Massachusetts, were taking that tour as well. And she just sort of adopted me because I was there, a 17-year-old kid, by myself, and she opened up her heart and her family and brought me in. She made such an impression on me that 2 years later, during my first summer between freshman and sophomore year of college at Martin, I and two other friends from the Interfaith Center, the campus ministry at UTM, we went to Sharon, Massachusetts, and worked at a children's camp that summer. And while I was there, we would have 2 days off between the camp ending and beginning the next day. We'd have that time off. I contacted Miss Sally so I could go visit her at her home in Gloucester. And I can still see her in my mind. I can still see the beautiful view overlooking the bay. She loved me in a brief encounter, but I have never forgotten the love she showed me. Thank you, God, for Miss Sally. I suspect that you have similar stories, similar memories. But I will also dare to say that I think that one thing that probably every saint that we can call to our mind, all those folks that we love dearly, all those folks that we consider to be saints, one thing that all of them have in common is they knew the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And they took it seriously. We learn it as a child. We don't need a preacher with a theological degree to explain it to you. We have seen it time and time again in action in our lives. We know what it means, what we are supposed to do. It is oh so very simple. And yet, oh so very difficult, is it not? So oftentimes we fail to follow this simple golden rule. Oh, it is somewhat easier when we are with family or friends or loved ones. Somewhat, not always, but somewhat easier. But Jesus in Matthew's gospel says, if you just love those who love you back, what have you accomplished? What have you done? Don't even the sinners do that? No, we fail in the golden rule, I think, most often because we are not sure that that person that we are interacting with is actually worthy of us following the golden rule. Or we are afraid, well, they wouldn't follow it for us, so why should I follow it for them? But you will kindly note, Jesus says nothing about what they do, how they would react, how they live. Which is why it serves me greatly that the church through the centuries has obsessed oh so much about other folks and how they live their life. When the gospel is directed to you and I as disciples of Jesus the Christ, as those who have answered the call of love and service, we're not supposed to condition our responses, our interactions, based upon the person in front of us. We're not supposed to do unto others as they would do unto us for the folks that we like, that we think would treat us well. No, we are called to do unto them as we would have them do unto us, as we would like for them to do unto us. It doesn't matter if they do it or not. We are still called to love them. To love them. And we do that in when we are at our best, when we are truly saints of God upon the earth. Unfortunately, I think this day and age in which we live is no different from all the days and ages of time. We tend to like those we like. Those who are like us, those who resemble us, those who are family. And so we find it difficult, so very, very difficult to live the golden rule with folks who aren't like us. Perhaps they come from a different place. Perhaps they have a different skin tone about them. Perhaps they have different political opinions and views. Perhaps they're not very nice people. Perhaps they are criminals. Illegal is the catchword of the moment. Perhaps they have done violence to those that we love. Perhaps they cheated on their taxes. It doesn't matter. It's not supposed to matter. We are called to love them as we would have them love us. And when we live out the golden rule, even when it is difficult, we live as a saint from God who blesses the earth through our lives and through our witness. My prayer is that when that day comes, when my life is recognized on an All Saints Sunday somewhere, that it will not be because some committee deemed me worthy. It will not be because I made a profession of faith as an 11-year-old kid at Olive Branch United Methodist Church. It will not be because I was family and they had to love me, but that it will be because I lived a life in which I tried, didn't always succeed, but I tried to live out the golden rule. That is what a saint is in my life. We can be saints when we choose to be saints. May that always be our choice. And we can be a saint
Because Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. And this is the good news that I share with you today, and I do so in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.